VOA Learning English. This is As It Is. I'm Mario Ritter.
And I'm Anna Mateo. On today's program, we go from the depths of the ocean to the upper reaches of the Earth's atmosphere.
That's right, Anna. We will hear how activity on the sun affects us here on Earth. But first, Christopher Cruz tells us about efforts to map the bottom of the sea.
We know more about the surface of the planet Mars than we know about what is at the bottom of Earth's oceans. Until recently, scientists had mapped only about 20% of the sea floor. But our knowledge of the deep seas is changing because of information from satellites. Scientists have produced a new map that provides a detailed picture of the oceans. The map is expected to help oceanographers, industry, and governments. The new map is 2 times as detailed as the map made 20 years ago. David Sandwell is a geophysics professor at the Scripps Institution of Oceanography at the University of California. He and other scientists worked on the mapping project. He says they turned to space to look deeper into the ocean. The scientists collected and studied information from 2 satellites. Some of the data came from the European Space Agency's Cryo-2 satellite. It was placed in Earth's orbit to watch sea ice. The other satellite is the American Space Agency's JASON-1. It is studying the surface of the oceans. Scientists combined the satellite data with images gathered by sonar equipment on ships. Sonar works by sending sound waves through the water. When the sound waves hit an object, its presence is confirmed. The new map shows the sea floor as it has never been seen before. It shows thousands of underwater mountains and places where continents pulled apart. It shows where earthquakes were active many years ago. They all are buried deep underneath the ocean floor. In one place, 3 mountain ridges join at the same area. Huge tectonic plates can be seen clearly there.
It's called the Indian Ocean Triple Junction. It's one of my favorite spots in the ocean because it really displays the theoretical aspects of plate tectonics perfectly.
David Sandwell says the map is a powerful tool for fisheries, those interested in protecting the environment, and for oil exploration.
Petroleum exploration industry is interested in how to reconnect the continents, bring them back together tectonically so you can map a continental margin, say Africa, and use that to establish where the similar basins would be on the other continental margin in South America.
The new data also will help scientists improve their estimates of ocean depths. This information can help ships travel safely and improve military operations and scientific projects worldwide.
This new gravity map really provides a reconnaissance tool for planning shipboard surveys. You don't have to go out with your ship and start looking for something new. We can target that with the gravity and then go out with a ship and do the high-resolution survey to really understand these features.
Mr. Sandwell thinks scientists will make many more discoveries as they examine the new map and the information it provides. The work is described in the journal Science. I'm Christopher Cruz.
I'm Anna Mateo.
And I'm Mario Ritter. You are listening to As It Is.
And now we leave the seafloor to travel up to the sun. Powerful winds from the sun affect the Earth's upper atmosphere. These solar winds cause the beautiful aurora borealis, known as the Northern Lights.
These winds are also responsible for many of the power outages that affect modern electrical systems. As we hear from Ann Ball, scientists are seeking better ways to deal with solar storms.
The sun's energy creates light and heat. It also produces charged electrical particles and magnetic fields. The sun can keep the earth nice and warm and helps our crops to grow. But a sudden burst of that solar energy can cause a power outage. William Murtaugh is with the National Space Weather Prediction Center in Boulder, Colorado.
As recently as 2003, a big geomagnetic storm during that period we call the Halloween storms produced a blackout in Malmo, Sweden, the city of Malmo in Sweden, and damaged transformers in the ESCOM network in South Africa.
The National Space Weather Prediction Center is part of NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. The Prediction Center provides continually up-to-date forecasts to power companies, government agencies, the satellite industry, and airline companies. It even shares these reports with users of global positioning system equipment. The normal solar forecast is hot, sunny, and worry-free. But sometimes satellites near the sun observe huge orange geysers. These explosions can produce magnetized winds, which continue into space. A solar storm generally takes at least half a day to reach the Earth. In the final hour of its trip to Earth, the storm passes a special satellite orbiting our planet. The satellite provides new clues about the power and size of the storm. Then scientists hurry to send the latest information. Most storms are uneventful. For larger storms, electric companies can direct power away from sensitive equipment and intense geomagnetic activity. But short-term outages are still possible. That is why hospitals, airports, and other emergency centers are urged to keep backup power-generating equipment. But predictions might not help us through a super solar storm. William Murtaugh describes what has been called the 1859 Carrington event. It created aurora lights that were seen all over the world. The experts say world leaders, power companies, and major power users should start planning now so the world can weather a solar superstorm. I'm Ann Ball.
And that's our Sunday As It Is program. I'm Anna Mateo.
And I'm Mario Ritter. Listen again tomorrow for another As It Is program from VOA Learning English.